ప్రకర్మణ లోకం పరం Translation, O great and fortunate one, it appears that you are none of the women I have mentioned, because I see that your feet are touching the ground. But if you are some woman of this planet, you can, like the goddess of fortune, who, accompanied by Vishnu, increases the beauty of the Vaikuntha planets, also increase the beauty of the city by associating with me. You should understand I am a great hero and a very powerful king on this planet. But there's a difference between demonic mentality and devotional mentality. Devotees know perfectly well that the goddess of fortune, who is the constant companion of Vishnu and Narayan, cannot be enjoyed by a living entity. This higher sense of understanding is called Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, everyone wants to become happy by imitating the prosperity of Narayan. In this verse, Paranjana states that the girl appears to be an ordinary woman. However, since he is attracted by her, he requests that she become as happy as the goddess of fortune by associating with him. Thus he introduces himself as a great king with great influence, so that she might accept him as her husband and be as happy as the goddess of fortune. Her desire to enjoy this material world as subordinate of the Supreme Personality of God is godly. The demons, however, want to enjoy this material world without considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the difference between the demon and the demigod. The word bhuvisprit mentioned in this verse is very significant. When the demigods sometimes come to this planet, they do not touch the ground. Paranjana could understand that this girl did not belong to the transcendental world or the higher planetary system because her feet were touching the ground. Since every woman in this material world wants her husband to be very influential, rich, and powerful, Paranjana, to seduce the girl, introduce himself as such a personality. In the material world, whether one be a man or a woman who wants to enjoy, a man wants to enjoy a beautiful woman, a woman wants to enjoy a powerful, opulent man. Every living entity who possesses such material desires is called Purusha, an enjoyer. Superficially, it appears that the woman is the enjoyer and the man is the enjoyer, but internally, everyone is an enjoyer. Consequently, everything in this material world is called Maya. Text 30. Certainly your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lust, is agitating the most powerful cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful unto me. Wherefore, everyone has lusty desires within, and as soon as one is agitated by the movement of beautiful woman's eyebrows, the cupid within immediately throws his arrow at the heart. Thus one is quickly conquered by the eyebrows of the beautiful woman. When one is agitated by lusty desires, the senses are attracted by all kinds of vishaya. These attractive sense objects oblige one to come under the control of a woman. In this way, the conditional life of living entity begins. Conditional life means being under the control of a woman, and certainly the living entity is always at the mercy of a woman or a man. Thus, living entities live in bondage to one another, and thus they continue this conditional material life, Vishnu Maya. 31, my dear girl, your face is so beautiful with your nice eyebrows and eyes, with your bluish hair scattered about. In addition, very sweet sounds are coming from your mouth. Nonetheless, you are so covered with shyness that you do not see me face to face. I therefore request you, my dear girl, to smile and kindly raise your head to see me. Of course, such a speech is typical of a living entity attracted by the opposite sex. This is called bewilderment, occasioned by becoming conditioned by material nature. When thus attracted by the beauty of the material energy, one becomes very eager to enjoy. This is elaborately described in this instance of Paranjanas becoming attracted by the beautiful woman. In conditional life, the living entity is attracted by a face, eyebrows or eyes, a voice or anything. In short, everything becomes attractive. When a man or woman is attracted by the opposite sex, it does not matter whether the opposite sex is beautiful or not. The lover sees everything as beautiful on the face of the beloved and thus becomes attracted. This attraction causes the living entity to fall down in this material world. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, O Saina Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the devotee's desire and hate. This condition of life is called avidya. Opposed to this, avidya is real knowledge. Sri Upanishad distinguishes between vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance. By avidya one becomes conditioned, by avidya one becomes liberated. Upanishad admits herein that he is attracted by avidya. Now he wishes to see the complete feature of avidya, so requests the girl to raise her head so he can see her face to face. He thus wishes to see the various features that make avidya attractive. Translation, O greatly fortunate one, it appears you are none of the women I have mentioned, because I see your feet are touching the ground. But if you are some woman of this planet, you can, like the goddess of fortune, who, accompanied by Lord Vishnu, increases the beauty and the wealth of the planets, also increase the beauty of the city by associating with me. You should understand that I am a great hero and a very powerful king of this planet. Certainly you're glancing upon me today as being very much agitated my mind. Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, is agitating the most powerful cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful unto me. My dear girl, your face is so beautiful, with your nice eyebrows and eyes, and with your bluish hair scattered about. In addition, with very sweet sounds are coming from your mouth. Nonetheless, you are so covered with the shyness you do not see me face to face. I therefore request you, my dear girl, to smile and kindly raise your head to see me. So this is further talk of the king, who is actually the jiva, showing his attraction for this woman. But, of course, this is only a symbolic image of the jiva trying to utilize intelligence for his own purposes. But the intelligence here is described as a beautiful woman, and Paranjana, or the jiva, becomes very attracted to her by her wonderful features. So it is only with the intelligence and the senses and the mind that the jiva can really function for enjoyment in the material world. In the spiritual world, of course, the jiva does have intelligence and senses, etc. But these are different. They're all spiritual. In the material world, these things are all material, so they're very different from the jiva. So actually, Paranjana is completely different from this woman and the 11 bodyguards and the snake, which is the prana, etc. Completely different from them, because he is spiritual as jiva, and everything else is material. So the city is material, and all these inhabitants of the city are material. He is the only one that's different, because he is jiva. But he doesn't realize this. So due to ahankara, he identifies himself with all these other objects here and thinks he's the same. So in the material world, the jiva is different from his body, he's different from the intelligence, different from the grossness of bodies. In the spiritual world, no difference. Everything is spiritual. Function is different. So we will see in the description later on that the different senses and parts of the body function for material enjoyment. And this material enjoyment leads to, eventually to, death, in which the jiva has to leave the material body and take a new body due to his karma. In the spiritual world, that does not take place. There is no separation of jiva from his spiritual body and his spiritual senses. So there is a great difference here. So the whole point of this story is to show that difference, that Brunchen actually is different from this body and all the senses and the intelligence, etc. And ultimately, he must separate himself from everything. But we'll see, in the process of going from body to body, he doesn't ultimately separate himself, but because certain things go with him. So the subtle body goes with the jiva. He has to leave the body and the senses, in one sense, but at the same time, he takes the subtle body with him. So there is some identity that remains, that goes with him from body to body, because that subtle body continues with the jiva. Whereas the gross body itself, like the city, is given up and he goes into a new place. So great attachment arises when one goes into the new body or the new city, and utilizing the senses and the mind, intelligence, etc., one begins to operate within that body, and one becomes attached. And when one has to give it up, which is described later on, where the soldiers of time begin attacking the city and burning it down, then he must, he's forced to leave that city or that body. It is no longer useful. It can no longer give enjoyment. So he's forced to leave that body, even though he doesn't want to. So the in this way, Paranjana ultimately becomes attached to the body and all of the different things within the city, such as the queen. And then he must leave that body ultimately. And because he has to leave, he feels great pain. And then he gets another body. So here, this is the story. In the story itself, this takes the form of Paranjana meeting the intelligence who becomes his queen in that city. And he invites her into that city, and they enjoy very nicely together. So what this means is that utilizing intelligence for his own purposes, the jiva is able to enjoy the material world by means of his body. And he gets different enjoyments through the different senses and the mind, etc. So everything is utilized for the purpose of the jiva and his enjoyment here. So this will never stop. The enjoyment will never stop. Therefore, the jiva goes from body to body to body, and there's no beginning and no end. Though it is without beginning and it appears to be without end, still, we say that it can have an end. And though that looks impossible, if there's no beginning, then logically we should say, well, there should be no end. But the nature of karma and avidya, etc., is no beginning for the jiva, but can have an end. So that takes place by following the instructions of the scriptures. So we have these different processes. Karma yoga is the first process. Unfortunately, it doesn't work so well, and one can become entangled in it. And that's exactly what King Prachanabarhi did. He became entangled in sacrifices and karma yoga, etc. And he could not get out. So it didn't really help him ultimately. So higher than that, we have jnana yoga and bhakti. So So these processes enable us to stop the process of birth in the material world, birth, karma, avidya, etc. So it looks impossible because there's no beginning, but if we follow the scriptural processes, then we can actually put an end to all of this. So this means that there is a process by which the jiva can separate himself from the gross and the subtle bodies. If he simply separates himself from the gross body, he is not liberated. He still has a subtle body. And the subtle body will impel him to another gross body. So he has to separate himself from the subtle body as well. So that also is very difficult. But it is possible by certain processes. So these are the processes mentioned in the scriptures. That is jnana, yoga, and bhakti. So the, of course, of these processes, finally the process of bhakti is the one which is recommended in the Bhagavata and Bhagavad Gita and scriptures in general. But as a preliminary, one has to get some basic knowledge. So that first knowledge is you're not the material body at all. So Narada Muni tells this story to give knowledge to the king so that he can understand that he's a fool and he's acting in terms of the body when actually he's not the body. Okay? So this is basically jnana, which is the same as Krishna teaches in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But as we see later on, Krishna teaches bhakti to Arjuna. He says this is the best process. So similarly, Narada Muni, because he is a Shaktivesh avatar of bhakti, will also teach bhakti ultimately. But he begins with a story which indicates jnana. Beginning time like that, because the creation of material universes has no beginning. In other words, Mahavishnu is creating, but there's no time when he first started creating. Before this creation, another creation, another creation, another creation, another creation. And Prakriti is eternal. So it doesn't have a, if creation only starts at a certain time, then it doesn't have a function up until that time.
He's searching for a place for enjoyment.
Yeah, so it's allegorical. This is just like one can say that the jiva becomes covered by ignorance, or the jiva falls and becomes covered by ignorance, etc. So you can take that as a time thing, in which he falls at a certain time or he becomes covered at a certain time. But generally the scriptures don't do that. It means he is in ignorance. He falls in ignorance, he is in ignorance. It means the same thing. It's not that at a certain time it happened.
In the gross body as a place, what happens to the ingredients? It just merges into this gross body?
Gross body?
No, the subtle body. When you,
when you get liberated.
Yeah. What happens? It has an identity, I guess.
No. They don't have an identity because they don't exist separately from the jiva.
What happens?
Just like the gross material elements dissolve, rot away.
So that the fire goes to fire, even goes to mind, is it not the same?
Mind element. This merges the mind element, that's all.
That means that all the thoughts, everything goes in the mind, still in the world?
No. They're destroyed when he gets liberation. He has no more karma, no more impressions or anything, all gets destroyed.
If he does have,
then he has to come back to the material world again.
I mean,
so when he becomes liberated, he is free. The whole avidya is finished. So he has no more impressions, he has no more karmas, nothing is there in his mind. They're empty things at that point.
No, I mean in the atmosphere, what happens to mind? He just gets dissolved. Mind, he's left back here. The ingredients mind,
it's merged with the total property. Property is always there.
So in this case, Maharaj, you consider Puranjana was actually a pure soul, and Puranjana represents the spirit soul.
Yeah. Jiva.
And Maharaj, this lady becomes so attractive because he gives an opportunity, she gives an opportunity to Puranjana for unlimited enjoyment using her.
Yeah.
भगवंती महाराज की जय।